Well, welcome. Happy Easter here today. It's great to be with you all today. My name is Pastor Todd, along with my wife, Jan. We're the lead pastors here. And I want to, first of all, just to take a moment and pray, especially for those people that aren't here today because of the sickness that is really running rampant right now. A lot of families are being impacted, and most of you are probably online watching today. So I just want to lift them up in prayer. Let's pray together. Father, today, Father, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, Lord, one of the things that he did, it said his body was broken so that we could be made whole. And so, Lord, I pray today for those who are battling sickness, those who are battling other health issues, that, Lord, you would touch them right now with that resurrection power of Jesus, and, Lord, that they would begin to be healed right now in this time, and we declare it. Lord, that they would begin to get healthier and healthier in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I want to say this as we begin today. He is risen. Yes. We're going to try that again. I'm going to say he's risen. You're going to say back to me, he's risen indeed. He is risen. Awesome. Awesome. Great to hear you say that. Great to be able to celebrate this day in history with you that was over 2,000 years ago, where if Jesus was crucified on Good Friday, he was in the grave for 3 days, and now he is risen. He is alive. We serve a living God. Who's thankful that the God that you serve, that you believe in, is alive? Amen? Amen. Well, I want to start off with a story today. And when I graduated from high school, one of my very first jobs was working for a small renovation company. Anybody here do construction, renovation? That's what you're doing right now. I can relate to you a little bit. When I say small, it was my boss, his brother, and me. We were the company. The projects we worked on were typical kind of things that people that do renovations and all that stuff. We were building decks and fences, pouring concrete walkways as well as driveways, renovating bathrooms and remodeling basements and other parts of the house. But I want to tell you about one of my favorite and most hated jobs. And you're going to see why in a minute. I call it most hated. We got the opportunity to repair a relief tunnel so that the pressure that had built up from some water on Mount St. Helens. Yes, the Mount St. Helens that had been an active volcano just 5 years previously. Now, to repair the tunnel, we had to work and sleep in an area called the Red Zone. The Red Zone was an area that was off limits to everybody except for scientists and government workers that were assigned to that area. Well, we happened to be able to go there. Because if the mountain were to blow again, the chances for survival were less than 1%. Now, I remember as we pulled into the Red Zone, I was filled with awe and wonder and a touch of fear. Who here might be a little bit be afraid of sleeping right at the foot of a previously active volcano? As we moved closer to the mountain, it was like taking part in creation, as the surrounding foothills were mostly these 1,000-foot-high mountains of just dirt, because all of the trees, all of the vegetation had been killed from the eruptions as well as the pyroclastic flows of hot mud. It was the most crazy thing I'd ever seen. The only thing that I can relate to it right now is if you've ever been to a new home construction area and you see where they pile up all the dirt they've dug out for building foundations, just picture that mountain, but 100 times taller, maybe even more than that. The work I hired to do was not cool, though. My job, and with another hired labor, was to take bags of concrete in a wheelbarrow 2 miles into a mountain and then go back out again. And I did that for 12 to 16 hours a day. It was dark except for the light on my hard hat. And the reason we had to use wheelbarrows was because gas-powered vehicles were not allowed inside the tunnel because of the possibility of getting carbon monoxide poisoning. I remember as I was working those 12 to 16 hours a day where I had only paused to eat and answer the call of nature, it was such a physical and mental battle. I wondered many times if it would ever end, if these trips would ever end, because it was just monotonous, walking in with the wheelbarrow and then going back out. It was very difficult. Finally, after 4 days of hauling the concrete, it was over. It was finally over, and I was so excited that I exclaimed, "It is finished! It is finally finished!" Now, today, as we celebrate both the death and resurrection of Jesus, I declare to you what Jesus said as he breathed his last breath on the cross. It is finished. As we begin, I want to take you back to the Passover 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. I want you to take for a moment, imagine what it was like, where the city was in a ruckus because of Jesus. It was hard to believe that a week ago, the holy city, people were standing and cheering and shouting for him. There were people lining the street, waving palm branches as he passed. Some even removed their cloaks, placing them on the street as Jesus rode by. There had been many Passover celebrations before, but nothing like this. Who was this man? His teaching was like nothing anybody had ever heard before. The things he did, allowing children to approach him, hanging out with prostitutes, tax collectors, and other sinners, but also the healings and the miracles he performed. There was nothing like it. Blind eyes opening, deaf ears becoming hearing, to be able to hear again, turning water into wine, and even raising a little girl from the dead. It was rumored that he even could command the wind to stop, and it obeyed him. People were whispering, could this be Moses reincarnated? Or maybe Elijah? But the craziest rumor that I heard is he could possibly be the Messiah, the actual Son of God, here in the flesh. Now today, this man, Jesus, is hanging on a cross between two thieves. I could not believe it when yesterday the crowd started yelling, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" It was like the people had lost their minds. A week ago, they were cheering for him like a arriving king, but within a few days, spitting on him, jeering at him, because he had described himself as the Son of God and the King of the Jews. I'm not sure whether this was true, or made up because of jealousy. I mean, he was becoming more popular than our spiritual leaders and public officials. And now to see him on the cross, unrecognizable from the brutal beatings hanging there while people laughed at him, mocked him, saying that if he really was the Son of God, come, take yourself down from the cross, save yourself. They were laughing. I wish he would come down so badly. But then he said the strangest thing right before he died. It is finished. What was finished? Why did he say that? Well, in John 19, verses 28 to 30, this is what it says. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And to fulfill the scripture, he said, "I am thirsty." A jar of sour wine was sitting there, and so they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So what was it that was finished on the cross? This afternoon I'm going to share with you three things that were finished. First of all, the debt for our sin had been paid. Romans 3:23 says, "Everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard." I want to ask this question. Is there anybody in this room here today, anybody that would like to declare that you have never sinned? See, the reality is that we all have. Whether we believe in God or we don't, whether we have a relationship with Jesus or we don't, we all know that we've made mistakes. Every one of us told a lie at sometimes, swore at somebody, maybe even under our breath, talked badly about other people, been angry at a person, doubted God, or treated those, even those close to us, badly. You know, I've thought about writing a book called 1001 Ways to Sin, because there's so many ways that we as humans can fall short of God's glory. Now, I want to say this, though. I want to say this. It's not your fault that you sin because you were born into it. You see, when Adam and Eve disobeyed by eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree that they were forbidden to eat from, all hell was unleashed against creation, especially against humanity. In Romans 8, 22 and 23, the Bible says that the earth groans under the weight of sin. Death, disease, depression, pain, suffering, and broken relationships, whatever awful thing you can think of, was released upon us at that moment. Now, I want to say this. It's not, when I said it's not your fault, but it was because of man's choice. You see, Adam and Eve came into the earth without sin, but they chose to disobey with God. Why? Because in order for relationships to be genuine, means that both individuals need a free will or the choice to decide. Who here is thankful that you get to choose who you spend time with, who you marry? Those are things that we get to choose. They're not like, this is what you have to do. You see, that's what makes relationship important. But when sin entered the world, it tainted everything, leaving man with the debt to be paid, to be set free from sin, and to be restored to God. Now, because those with sinless blood had committed the first sin, the requirement to pay the debt was the shedding of innocent or sinless blood. And when Jesus said it was finished, what he meant was that the debt for sin had been paid for you, me, and everyone. No longer would humanity be subject to the law of sin and death. He, being God in human flesh, willingly shed his blood on the cross to pay the penalty for sin. This is what it says in Philippians 2:8. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. He paid the debt not only for my sin, not only for your sin, but the sins of everyone in the past, the present, and the future. But here's what we have to understand. We do have one job here. You see, those who choose to accept Jesus' forgiveness and leadership no longer must live in bondage to their past. Because forgiveness is a gift. You have to understand this. You can't do anything to earn it. You cannot work harder for it. You can only accept it and receive it. You see, a few years ago, I had a watch that I loved. Anybody have a watch or something that you just really like, even if other people think it's dumb? But it needed to be repaired for the third time. And it had a band that was made from woven steel. And every couple of years, it would begin to unravel, causing pain and suffering to the wearer. So I sent it in for the third time, but unfortunately, the warranty had run out. And the cost was over $70 US, actually, to replace it. And after sending it in with all the information and the proper payment, I waited about 8 weeks, and my watch was returned. But when I opened the box, I discovered not only my watch was there, but my check had been returned marked void with a note saying, "We decided to cover your bill. Nothing more needed." You see, when we accept the forgiveness of Jesus, our debt is paid in full, and there's nothing more needed. There's nothing more that you can do to earn it, to make it happen, and accept the goodness and the grace of Jesus and his blood. Here's the second thing when he said it was finished. Our relationship with God was restored. When Jesus said it was finished, the Bible says that the veil inside the temple in Jerusalem split, signifying that man no longer would be separated from God. Matthew 27:51, at that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and rocks split apart. That would have been interesting to be around when that happened, when the whole earth shook. And they also said that the dead arose and walked around. That would have been a really crazy movie to make there. So here's what happened. No longer did man need a priest or another mediator to connect with God on his behalf. Now all people... Who's all people? Are you an all people? Now it says, now all people who receive Jesus and his sacrifice could approach God themselves. You see, when sin entered the world again through Adam and Eve, and I got to say this, I've said it before, sometimes when I think about Adam and Eve, they kind of make me angry. Because, like, you know, with them falling into sin, it just created a lot of problems for everybody. You see, when sin entered the world through them, all humanity became separated from God. Unholy people, you have to understand this, could not be in the presence of a holy God as it would destroy them unless they were covered by the blood. Now, so you have to understand that before Jesus came, the way that people could approach them was once a day, year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest for Israel would go into the Holy of Holies, the only place where the presence of God rested on the planet. So they would bring the blood of a goat and a bull to intercede for the forgiveness of the people of Israel. That was their job. But before the priest could go inside, and he only could do this once a year, he did three things. First of all, he purified himself through ceremonial washing. He would take a ritual bath, basically, where it was part of the purification of him. And then he would slay the bull of atonement, he and some of the priests, and the goat, which was the sin offering, and then he brought some of the blood and put it on the altar. But lastly, before he went in there, he tied a rope around his foot in case he died in God's presence because of impurity, or somehow he didn't do all of the right things to be in there. Who would like to be a high priest in that realm? You know, I don't know. I don't remember hearing, but I'm sure at some point there are people that thumped, you know, boom, they just heard, and they're like, okay, guys, we got to grab the rope again. You see, it was rigorous. There was a rigorous effort for one man to be able to meet with God once a year. See, before Jesus shed his blood on the cross, this was the best humanity could do. But because we've heard this scripture today, because God so loved the world, he sent his one and only Son that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life, John 3:16. You see, those who believed that Jesus shed his blood for them would not only be forgiven of their sins, but would be able to approach God at any time, anywhere. No longer would they have to go through somebody else to meet with him. You see, God is so crazy about you and me and humanity that he sent his Son. Because why? He wants to have relationship with us. He loves it when we spend time with him in adoration and worship, or when we come to him with prayer and we talk to him and we listen to him, and that we learn how to listen to his voice. God wants to communicate with you more than you'll ever realize. Why? Because he wants to give you his encouragement as well as direction. You see, from the fall of Adam and Eve, God has longed to be restored to us. In fact, the Bible, if you really read it, from about Genesis 3 on, is a love story of God's pursuit for you and I. His desire to be us to be reconciled to him. Because when sin entered the world, there was a chasm between God and each of us. But when Jesus entered the world and died on the cross, that chasm was bridged so that we could be united with him. Why would he do this? I've already said it. Because he's crazy about us. Because you are created in God's image. Don't let anybody tell you anything else. You are called to carry the likeness of your Father. And because he loves you, not for what you do for him, but because of who you are, because you are a son or a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, when I first began a relationship with God, I did not know who I was. A little personal story, because I'd been born out of wedlock, and with the broken relationships around me, I grew up believing I had to be perfect. If I stepped out of line even slightly, I had family members who came at me mercilessly reminding me that I was illegitimate. But when I began a relationship with Jesus, it was skewed. As I believed I had to receive his love and approval, that I had to be perfect for that. It was not until I discovered that I was God's son that my relationship with him began to grow. And it's not what I did that made him love me. Listen to this. It was because of who I am that he loves me. Somebody needs to hear that today. It's not what you do that causes God to love you. It's because already who you are that he loves you. You know, God's love is unconditional. See, Jesus paid the price so that we could relate to our Heavenly Father as children. And no longer is this debatable, as Jesus declared, it is finished. Listen to what 1 John 3:1 says. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. And that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world do not recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Here's the third thing, and this is where we're going to close in this message. So not only did he pay the debt for our sin, not only did he restore our relationship with him, but he restored our authority and power. At some point, I believe each of us has experienced a power outage, usually because of a big storm. And what is fascinating is that we don't realize how much we depend on electricity until we don't have it. Have you ever experienced that where the power, and you're like, now what do we do? Where do we go? I mean, my cell phone's it's not going to be able to be charged anymore. I know for some people that's like a big crisis for you. You're just, So when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, our power to leave and live freely was given over to the enemy. We were created. Do you know this? That we were created to rule ourselves, over ourselves, the devil and the world around us. That when God created us, one of the things that he said you're called to do is I want you to go and reign over the earth. However, most of us do not know how to walk in power of victory. Why? Because we've never experienced it. You see, when Jesus said it was finished, it was a transfer of power from the enemy back to us, back to God's children. You see, you have an authority to overcome sin because God has given it to you. And again, it's not your power, it's his power within you that God has given to us. As Jesus breathed his last and died on the cross, the devil and his minions were celebrating, thinking they had defeated the Son of God. Oh, they were just living it up. They were going crazy in hell, but little did they know that their fate had been sealed. Once Jesus died as a sinless man, Satan no longer had the exclusive power for ruling over the earth and the people that inhabited it. But because not only had our debt been repaid, not only had our relationship with God been restored, but our authority and power to rule over the earth and the kingdom of darkness was also restored. You see, the devil was never meant to conquer us, but we were meant to overcome him. We were meant to exercise our authority over his works. Listen to what it says in Colossians chapter 2, 14 and 15. It says, he, Jesus, canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, I love this, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. See, when everyone thought Jesus had been defeated, he went into hell and he stripped the devil and then and his minions of all their power. And he publicly humiliated them, exposing their pride and their wickedness for all of us to see. Listen to what the Message Bible says. When you are stuck in your old sin, dead life, you are incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven. The slate wiped clean. The old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. And then he says he stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority and marched them naked through the streets. Jesus not only stripped the enemy of his authority, but gave that authority back to us. And when Jesus said it was finished, it was a declaration that he no longer had power over your life. You see, we are no longer controlled by the enemy unless we choose to allow him to be. Death was defeated. Sickness was defeated. Addiction was defeated. All things that stood against God and his children were defeated. And when Jesus said it was finished, it was finished. Today, as we celebrate Easter, it is a day of victory. And if you are struggling with guilt and shame because of sin, you can have your debt paid in full. If you feel distance from God, there is a bridge to restore your relationship with him. If you feel defeated and powerless, you have the opportunity to receive the power of victory in your life. You see, it comes from embracing Jesus' love and forgiveness. And when you surrender to Jesus, he declares it is finished. Anxiety and depression, some of you need to hear this. Today, God says it's finished. Accusations from the past, those labels that people have put on you, you put on yourself. The enemy has whispered in your ear, I declare today it is finished. Migraine headaches, I threw that in there because I felt the Holy Spirit say it. Somebody needs to hear, today it is finished. The inability to overcome sin issues, it is finished. Doubt, lack of faith, it is finished. So in this moment right now, as we're coming to the close here, whatever you feel like has been attacking you, has been coming against you, maybe it's a struggle, just where you're at right now, even in this moment, let's just close our eyes and bow our heads. I want you just to take a moment and say, Lord, I give this to you. I declare it is finished. Because I say that today. You don't have to walk around dealing with things, wrestling with things. Oh, you're going to wrestle, but you can come back at it and say, you're the one who has been defeated. You're the one who is not victorious. I'm declaring to you again and again and as often as I have to, it is finished. Jesus' blood covers me. You see, when the enemy now comes at me with accusations about what I did or I didn't do, I say, quit talking about me. I've already dealt with it. The Jesus on the cross dealt with that. It is finished in my life. But you know what hasn't been finished yet? Is the fact that you are going to spend eternity in a lake of fire. So why don't you take that, you stinky devil? And I just pray right now for whatever it is that you're declaring. We lift it up to the throne room of God and say, Lord, those thoughts that I've had, they're finished. I'm not going to agree with them anymore. Father, that thing that I struggle with, Lord, give me the strength. I'm declaring it's finished, even though I don't feel like I can do this on my own. And Jesus says, good, that's why I have my Holy Spirit. That's why we have the blood of Jesus. It's because you're going to need my help, but we're going to declare together that this is finished. You see, God has created you and I to live in freedom, to live in victory, to be his hands and his feet, to go into the dark places, and those things aren't going to overcome us, but we're going to overcome them, not for only for ourselves, but for the people around us, or the people that can't get victory. That's what we're called to be. So God, we just pray for your grace today. Lord, to be able to go to those places. And Lord, we need the freedom, because if we're not free, we can't help others get free. And so God, I declare freedom and victory over everyone today, so that we can take your word and your love to friends, to family, to our classmates, to our coworkers. Lord, whether you send us overseas or you send us across the street, Lord, we declare it is finished. Now today, maybe some of you have come here, you were invited here by a family member. Maybe even you were drugged here against your will. Because mama said, we're going to church today, it's Easter. But you're here for a great purpose. Because if you don't know Jesus, today God wants to invite you to walk in his victory. Where you don't have to keep those things that are hidden in your heart, hidden any longer. You can give them to the one who loves you. You see, the Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, Jesus our Lord." You see, the way to true freedom is through Jesus. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you are saying, "God, I need you, I want you, I want to begin a relationship with you, I want to walk in this victory that you're talking about, Pastor Todd," would you just lift your hand right now? Would you just lift your hand if you have never had a relationship with the Lord? Because God brought you here for such a time as this. God brought you here for such a time as this. If you're here today and you need some victory in your life, you need some things that you want to see God finish, would you raise your hand today? There's things that you're just wanting to see God do in a deeper way in your life. Because we're believing today that Jesus is here to encourage you, to save you, but also to give you that freedom. Father, I just pray today for each one of the people that are here, Lord, that you would give them victory and freedom like they've never seen in their life. Lord, whatever it is that they realize they need to say, it is finished. Lord, together in unity, we join our hearts and we declare that those things are finished and that there's a new life ahead, whether they know you or they don't know you, that God, you're going to do some deep healing and give some incredible victory for today. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name.